Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you? Or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then Jesus will say to those who are at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not visit you or take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we are, the last week of the liturgical year, celebrating Christ the King. So I have a brief story to begin with. A hungry man was walking down the street in a village of medieval Turkey. He had only a piece of bread in his hand. He came to a restaurant where some meat was being grilled. The cooking meat was so near and the smell so delicious that the man held his piece of bread over the meat to capture some of the smell. As he started to eat the bread, the angry restaurant owner seized him and took him away to see a judge. The owner protested, "This man was stealing the smell of my meat without asking my permission. I want you to make him pay me for it." The judge thought for a moment and then held up his coin purse in front of the owner and shook it. "What are you doing that for?" asked the restaurant owner. The judge replied, "I'm paying you. The sound of money is fair payment for the smell of food." Jesus' teaching about the sheep and the goats generally is accepted as one putting us on notice about Judgment Day, that final day when whomever still is alive on earth learns that he or she is destined to spend eternity with God or in eternal punishment. One's destination is determined by how one treated the most vulnerable people during one's life. Those who fed hungry people, gave thirsty people something to drink, welcomed strangers, clothed naked people, cared for sick people, and visited imprisoned people will enjoy eternity. Those who neglected people in need will not. But wait. Don't we Lutheran Christians say that we understand God's love and mercy to forgive us when we sin? Don't we believe that we are saved or justified, in another way of saying it, by grace through faith, which is a gift from God? Don't we say that people can't earn their way to heaven? Don't we reject the concept of works righteousness? Yes, we do. So how we treated or didn't treat people we encountered during our lives, people who were vulnerable, whether they represented Jesus or not, really shouldn't be what our society would call a litmus test for determining the location of our eternal lives. Moved by a commentary by one of my favorite theologians, the Reverend Dr. David Loos, who was formerly president of the Lutheran Seminary at Philadelphia, which is now part of United Lutheran Seminary, I considered this teaching to be one of visible grace. Dr. Loos contends that in this passage, Matthew isn't actually warning his community that they will be judged by their treatment of the poor, but rather he's promising his beleaguered flock that the nations, usually referring to Gentiles or foreigners, will be judged in accord with how they treat them, that is, Matthew's community. Now, although we are not under official attack for our faith today, as Matthew's community was, this assurance might ring with an especially poignant sound for people who are feeling the pain of the disparate impact upon Black and Brown people of the COVID-19 virus, or of maternal health outcomes during pregnancy. It may bring a word of comfort for those of us who are mourning the death or grieving for the imprisonment of our Black and Brown fathers or brothers, sons, uncles, grandfathers. It may engender hope in the lives that have been upended, especially during the pandemic, with job losses, followed by health insurance disappearance, hunger, and homelessness. These and other discrepancies that seep into and overtake everyday life are the effects of the policies and practices of the white-dominated society of this country throughout the last 400 years. And it's not over yet, is it? But a word of comfort from our friend and Lord Jesus is a welcome healing touch to beleaguered bodies and suffering souls. Pastor Loos continued in the piece I read to explain why he saw this teaching as one of visible grace. He said, "By choosing the word visible, I want intentionally to link the interpretation to our understanding of the sacraments as visible words." He stated that God's manifestation and presence is not some mountaintop experience or the result of an arduous spiritual journey, but instead, it's connected to actual physical bodies and circumstances. Do you want to see Jesus? Look to the needs of your neighbor, and especially to your most vulnerable neighbor. And I would add, that when we live in community as the church, we are connecting our spiritual selves to our actual physical bodies and our circumstances. We are allowing the growth of that community to provide care for one another within the community, and we're also creating structures and connections that will bring the forces of government, local, state, federal, sometimes kicking and screaming, bring them to bear on seeing to the well-being of Black and brown bodies. It's a long road, isn't it? And it's a hard climb. And sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we have to stop to rest or to take a deeper breath. And sometimes the road takes a switchback to an even harder time. But Jesus is there with us, showing us the way and sustaining each of us who are committed to the care, urging us on, calling us to hold the structures responsible, to demand justice, even if it's been denied for hundreds of years. No, especially because it's been denied for hundreds of years. But what about Dr. Loess's comment about visible grace? He reminds us of a formula of sorts. Quote, a promise of salvation attached to a command of Jesus involving a physical element and surprising us with God's unexpected presence. Does that sound familiar? It's pretty much the hallmark of the way we Lutherans, describe the sacraments. Are we in this COVID-19 infested world worshiping on Zoom, wearing masks, washing hands and surfaces, staying 6 feet away from people we don't live with? Are we living sacramental lives? Are we living those lives because Jesus is available to us in the lives of people who are in need? It's no longer a surprise for us, as it was for Jesus' first hearers of this teaching, that when we meet the needs of others, God in Jesus is revealed to us because we are meeting Jesus' needs. And this is sacramental. We may not have been eating communion wafers and drinking wine for the last 8 months, but God has made it possible for each and every one of us to keep receiving the assurance of grace, of forgiveness, of acceptance that we receive when we commune every time we have served someone else. Do you ever wonder why it's so common for people who take on a project of service to say that they felt they'd received more than they'd given? Could it be because they've received the sacrament of the promise that God in Jesus is really and truly available to us in the real and concrete needs of those around us, and that God takes all of this so very seriously, blessing our efforts and meeting our deepest needs when we reach out to those who are struggling? Let's pray. Loving God, our merciful Creator, you bathe us in grace. You feed us with hope. You shelter us with faith so that we can be true to Jesus Christ, the King, our Savior and Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.